Good morning. I'm joined in the studio by John Straley, a man who literally needs no introduction to most people in Sitka. But for those three of you who've never heard of John Straley, he is an author. He's lived in Sitka many years. He's probably one of Alaska's most prolific fiction writers, and he's former state writer laureate in Alaska. You can stop me anytime, John.
Oh, sorry. I was just drifting off, Rob.
Anyway, John, you have a new novel coming out just in time for the holidays. It's called Blown by the Same Wind. And this is one of your cold storage novels.
That's right. I have two series. One is a series about Cecil Younger, kind of a ne'er-do-well private eye who lives in Sitka, Alaska. I don't know where I got that idea. And then a little town up on Yacobi or near Yacobi called Cold Storage, Alaska. And this is the fourth in that series.
Right. And when we taped this interview, Old Harbor Books did not have any copies available for me to look at, but books have arrived now.
At Old Harbor Books.
Yeah, so at the time of airing. So this is a roundabout way of my saying that I haven't read this book yet. But I will say that I have enjoyed all the other cold storage books. The last one was called What is Time to a Pig?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that quite a lot. And then there was Cold Storage Alaska prior to that.
And then The Big Both Ways.
The Big Both Ways, which was your kind of a breakaway from the Cecil Younger detective fiction. So Cold Storage is kind of, it's running on a parallel track.
That's right. I try to do a cold storage book and then a Cecil book, and trying to do one a year.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Blown by the Same Wind. I did read some of the blurb on it, and it sounds like you got a 1960s.
It's set in 1968. And years ago, I tried to pitch an idea to Alaska Magazine, which they didn't bite on, but about well-known people in the United States who come to Alaska looking for the big Alaska dream. And so Wyatt Earp lived in Nome he was a marshal up in Nome. And let's see, who else? Robert Stroud, the birdman of Alcatraz, was arrested in Juneau. Solzhenitsyn wanted to move to Alaska. And I had a friend that actually bumped into him in the Sitka's Totem Park, and he was thinking of moving here. Another one of those people was a writer named Thomas Merton, who was a Cistercian monk from Kentucky, and he wrote a book called Seven Story Mountain about his journey of faith. And it was immensely popular, so popular that wisdom seekers and fans kept coming to the Gethsemane, which is supposed to be a remote, silent community, prayerful community. The idea of behind the abbeys of the Catholic Church are they support themselves, they love God, and by thriving they prove how their love of God is of value in the world. It started to bother his fellow monks and the abbot, who suggested to Thomas Merton, the famous writer by this point, dozens and dozens of tourists would come to want to sit at the feet of Thomas Merton. The abbot suggested that he go someplace more remote and to pray and meditate and serve a small community. And they talked about coming to Alaska. In 1968, Merton actually did come to Alaska, and he wrote some letters indicating that after his trip was over, he was going to come back and live in Alaska, and in southeastern Alaska, although he was nervous about bears. And he mentioned that in this writing. Anyway, after he was in Alaska, he went to California and then to Asia, and where he traveled, he met with the Dalai Lama. He was also of interest to the FBI and the CIA because he was not in support of the war in Vietnam. And he died in Bangkok. His brothers found him under a electric lamp which they thought must have killed him. They asked for an autopsy, but in Thailand, if you have an autopsy, they were told in 68 that you had to be buried in Thailand. And his abbot, feeling bad about sending him to his death, apparently wanted him back. And so he was transported back to Kentucky on an airplane that was transporting bodies of American soldiers. And so it's an interesting story, full of conspiratorial overtones. And so I thought, that's just perfect for me. So I thought up every conspiratorial frame of mind that I could from 1968, researched all the different kinds of things, and have Thomas Merton come to my little fictional town of coal storage and get involved in a big, messy crime.
Well, Thomas Merton was so famous that even coming to a place like cold storage, he could not elude everyone. And cold storage is not so remote, you know, that you can't get there by a float plane or by a ferry or whatever. So it's not like he's totally...
He was discovered, even in my book, he was discovered by local law enforcement and local people. And some people just wanted him to move into their house and teach them to write poetry, and some people wanted him out, but in my story.
Right. And there was a very literate bar owner, right, who recognized him for...
Ellie, who has been in most of the books, as at least mentioned. Ellie was a IWW wobbly in Washington during the 30s, and she came to Cold Storage right as it was being founded. And she and Merton become sort of comrades.
John, this is your latest book. If you had pitched this idea as your first book, do you think the editors would have
bought it? They all would have probably gone, "Wall? Huh?"
Right.
You know.
But in your hands, this kind of thing not only becomes very practical, it becomes approachable.
Yeah.
It's like, I never read The Seven-Story Mountain.
Seven-Story Mountain.
I do know...
Highly recommended.
Yeah. I do know about Thomas Merton and that era, though a babe... I was at the time. But, you know, developing a story, a popular fiction. This is the kind of thing you want to burn through on an airplane.
You hope.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry, is there a question coming?
The question is, how do you do it? How do you craft popular fiction out of a story that has...
Whether it's
going to
be popular is still open question. I want people to like it. It's gotten 2 starred reviews. It got a starred review in Publishers Weekly and Booklist. It's an editor's choice on Amazon. So, the early signs are good in my little magic eight ball. I write the kind of wacky stories that I'm interested in. And that's all I can do, because to try to do anything else is like doing homework. And I hate writing homework.
So... You take pleasure out of constructing a universe where it's possible for Thomas Merton to have come to a little town in southeast Alaska and become involved in criminal intrigue.
Oh, yeah.
That's the fun part for you.
Yeah, that's fun. And I think it's kind of funny. I do enjoy writing them. I've been so lucky. Now, whether they find an audience, that's not up to me, really. I do my best. Like, I come up here and sign books and... talk on the radio.
John Straley, thank you very much for coming in.
Rob, thank you. And I love the weather here. You didn't even pester me about wanting to move to California.
I should have asked you, has moving to Northern California?
Carmel, California.
Carmel.
Is where I live now.
Yeah, has it? Are we going to start seeing stories about a sleepy, sunny...
But he's incredibly thin and fit and never drinks and... Hangs out with Steinbeck, and I love the food down there, the fresh vegetables, but I miss the people here. They're kind of all thin and healthy and rich.
Will it affect your writing, do you think? Being able to sit out on the deck every day and enjoy the sunshine, or is it gonna blunt your edge?
I don't know. I want to write another Cecil book just to get poor Cecil out of jail. I want to write, and I'm writing a book now about Jan Straley. We'll see what comes next. I mean, everybody has failings and tries to cover them up and gets in trouble. Everybody gets in trouble. And I have to say, there's some beautiful country around Big Sur and some crazy people down around there and near where I live, just a few miles. And so every place is worthy of a writing about.
John Straley, thanks again.
Yeah.
For coming in. Glad to see you back in Sitka.
Me too. Glad to be seen.
All right.